What a time to be alive, man. History in the making. This is where I wish I had my sound effects. The beep, 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 beep. My goodness. Ladies and gentlemen, I am so excited. It's finally here. It's finally here. It's 2024, and we're talking about the future of plumbing in South Africa. Now, I mean, when we talk about history in the making, we have to have history makers in the building, okay? I've got some history makers in the building. But to our viewers back at home, you know, welcome to an exciting and brand new episode of Next Gen Plumbers. I think this is where we can give a round of applause. I'm so excited. We've been talking about this for years.
Finally here.
I mean, think about it. You know, I think the one thing that we've always done, right, we speak to the established plumbers. You know, we speak to those that are in the industry. But we tend to ignore the next generation of plumbers. And I mean, that's exactly what this whole show is about. It's about amplifying the future of the most amazing industry. And I don't get paid to say that. All right. I mean that. The most amazing and powerful industry in society, because ultimately we transport the most valuable commodity, which is water. So ladies and gentlemen, I don't even want to waste any time. I'm so excited. You know, I've got two amazing queens in the building. So I'll start with the one on my left, all right, which they both are, but the closer one. Jabulile Nkosi Kungwane. Did I get it right?
Yeah, you did.
I got it right, man. The Lobola still in check. I'm so happy to have you here. And she's not rolling alone, ladies and gentlemen. I had to master the surname. It took me some time, you know? Yeah. Quite a unique and beautiful surname. Miss Stacey Ronteris. Did I get it right?
You did.
Come on.
Well done.
Come on. Thank you. And I mean, today's episode, well, since it's history in the making and it's the beginning, like we've informed our viewers back at home, the show is all about talking about the future. All right. And I know we're going to be focusing a lot about the journey of becoming professional. That's why we have both of you here, because you play a significant role when it comes to that, you know, in different unique ways. And more than anything, just becoming established, you know, while you are professional. The journey, as we said, the steps to get there, but also remaining there and growing further. So getting into it, let's get into the conversation. Are you guys ready?
We're ready.
Let's do this.
Yeah.
Jabo, I want to talk to you quickly. All right. You qualified, you registered, you're a licensed PIRB plumber. At the same time, I know that you're a compliance auditor. Now, Jabu checks up on people who've done the work. Yeah, she's the one who moderates. Is this compliant or is it not? You know, but more than anything, you're also a business owner. Now, I want to talk about, you know, your training, your educational journey. Let's touch on your practical experience. I mean, let's talk to one young individual that's watching the episode right now. And give them your story. Let's talk about, you know, how did you start that? Before you even get to starting your own company, where did the journey begin?
Hi, Renz. Thank you for having me.
Always love
talking about what I'm the plumbing guys.
Yeah.
My life.
Come on. Yeah.
My journey started when I was quite young. Mm. I'm from a plumbing background. My dad is a retired plumber and a business owner.
Come on.
So I've always had to work for my allowance. And that was never given for me.
It was never free.
Yeah. So on weekends, I would go in the office and do a bit of admin to earn my keep until such time as there was an incident. I think I was 16, just got my learners.
Yeah.
That one of the plumbers didn't pitch for work.
Come on. Come on.
Then I had to take them on site. That's where my plumbing journey started.
Well, you're not nervous. Like, I mean, you're 16. You're now taking people on site. This is not a test or an assessment. This is real life,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I mean, how was that? Just
talk
the emotion.
I've always been a tomboy.
Yeah.
I've always been a tomboy. I grew up climbing trees.
Come on.
So I was very excited, not even nervous. I was like, I'm driving, yes, now. Always, you know?
Yeah.
Because I was only allowed in the yard and at the driving school.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I took my dad's people to site, got on site, and I was like, no, I actually want to see what's going on up there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, sometimes I'd get phone calls from clients to say, my geyser's burst, I need a PRV, and I didn't know, you know, so I was like, no, actually, let me see what goes on up there.
Yeah.
So that was my first time in a room.
Come on.
Yeah, and that was the rest of history.
And it's not easy. The other day I was fixing my geyser. You know how hot it is up there?
Especially a zinc roof.
Yes.
So yeah, coming back, and I was like, actually, I don't like sitting in the office. I want to do this more often. Mm. And I had a conversation. She said, can I go in and go to site with the guys? I want to see what's this about. Because on holidays, I was office-based. So and I was like, you know, I'm learning stuff. So if people call in and then I know what I'm talking about, yes. Your elbows, yes. Your fittings, yes. Your piping, the different sizes, mm-hmm. That's when he allowed me. That's when I started my passion for plumbing.
Yeah.
Okay, obviously after school, I had tertiary. I went to BitsTech then.
Okay.
I did my marketing and PR, went for corporate. Everybody wants to be corporate, but the plumbing bug didn't stop, guys.
So you were actually studying something totally different.
Yeah.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah.
But later in life, it helps me with my business.
100%.
So I think it was a part.
It's connected.
So I was in marketing, PR. And then I was a marketing junior assistant and then a junior manager.
Mm-hmm.
But the plumbing bag, no.
I had to go back. Instead, water jobs.
I found myself, okay, after my being an apprentice,
yes.
My internship, I found myself again in a building and plumbing construction company. You know, so I was in an environment that was familiar. My boss was actually quite surprised to say, hey, you know something about plumbing? I was like, yes, actually, yeah. I know quite a lot. I asked to be moved to the plumbing department. Mm. Yeah, I started as a junior, graduated. Eventually, I was a plumbing manager.
Come on.
For the Giza department.
Come on.
Yeah, and then I had my training. I used to deal with corporate insurance,
yeah.
Anything and everything to do with plumbing.
Come on.
Then I just decided, you know what? Why don't I start a business? Because I could see there was a shortage of women.
Yes.
And it's something that I loved.
Yes.
I didn't like being in the office.
Yes.
So I decided, no, I'm resigning. I'm going full time to study.
Broad.
Because I wanted to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
But that's a bold move. Mm. I mean, Stacey, you can agree there. That's a bold move.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know we're going to touch on this as the conversation goes. But number one, you're in an industry that's dominated by the male gender.
Yeah.
And you decide to leave your comfort and earning an income, you know, I'm going for the big fish. And you open your own company, which I believe is called Melita Trading.
Melita Trading, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Talk about guts, right?
Yeah, I named it after my granny. I believe she's my guardian angel.
Come on.
Yeah, very feisty.
Yeah.
And brave.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I carry a spirit. I believe I carry a spirit.
Yeah.
So, yes. I wanted to do it right. Mm. You know, I wanted to, when I go into the business part of it, I wanted to know in depth,
yeah.
You know, the technical part of planning,
yeah.
You know, as well as to elevate the industry.
Yeah, yes.
You know, I didn't want to be a chancer.
Yeah.
And anything you do, you have to do with profession.
100%.
I went to Nomanzi Plumbing School.
Okay.
Until I got my qualification. Mm-hmm. And then I applied with PRIB to become, I was an assistant plumber because I already had practical experience.
Yes, yes.
Yes, and then I was in the field, went into the field. Practically doing installing drainage,
doing the work, getting the keys out,
getting dirty.
Come on,
yeah. But I loved every moment of it. I still do. I'm very hands on.
Yeah,
very hands on. I still do. If there's a period, I'm up there.
Okay.
So moving on, registered my business. I was ready because I thought you can never be 100%. You know,
yeah.
There's always skills development, there's always training. I'm always on training courses with the PRIB, with IOPSA,
yes.
To upskill even the guys, my plumbers in my business.
Yeah.
I'm for training all the time. And we take advantage of those webinars that you guys produce with PRIB and IOPSA.
Yeah.
So I'm always trying to upskill myself until eventually I did manage to get into the business space.
Come on.
I'm hiring youth. I'm very passionate about employing youth and young girls to come into the artisan plumbing space.
Yeah.
So I'm always encouraging. I tell you, I stop. If I see guys in the corner, they're loitering, I stop.
You pause.
And I say, guys, how are you?
Yeah.
Thanks. What are you guys doing? What are your ambitions?
Yeah.
Do you know about being an artisan?
Mm.
You know, because we know this country, we're facing a huge problem of unemployment.
100%.
And I mean, we've got a lot of matriculants who are just in,
they're not doing much.
And depressed.
I want to jump into something. And I think, Stacey, this way you're going to come in, right? For those who don't know, now listen to this. Now, Stacey is the director of learning innovation at Blue Lever Education. It even rhymes, man. Come on.
Thank you.
You know, the reason why I'm jumping into you now, Stacey, right? Because it's so important. Jobs gave us an understanding of her journey.
Yeah.
And the educational part,
yeah.
Right? And I think most people don't understand how important it is to actually become educated. There's this perception that you can actually just wake up in the morning, unblock a drain, And hey, I'm a plumber.
Yeah.
And just put the hose pipe in the toilet. It'll work, you know?
Yeah.
And that's totally incorrect. Let's talk about your journey. You know, let's talk about, before we get into, you know, some of the challenges that people are facing from an educational perspective, let's talk to us. Talk to us. And I also know that, you know, you've got a qualification in psychology.
Yeah.
Me and Stace go way back.
Yeah.
Way back. You know?
You don't know how way back.
Yeah. Like school.
Yeah. Interesting. You know, and that's why when I mentioned the psychology part, it took me back there. But let's talk about your journey quickly, Stacey. For those who don't know you, you know, where did it start? And how did you end up finding yourself at Blue Lever being the director of learning innovation?
Well, I'm very clearly not a plumber.
Yeah.
That is not my background. As you said, I'm a qualified psychologist. Mm-hmm. I have always worked with youth, whether that was at institutions or nonprofit organizations. Yeah. I've been with Blue Lever now for just over 2 years, going on 2.5 years. And my passion is really finding ways for youth to access opportunities in lots of different kind of ways. And with it, I think it's helping youth to be empowered and to grow, to be able to achieve the things that they want to achieve, and not to sound too cliched, but to basically unlock their potential.
Yes.
That's really what I'm passionate about, is giving youth those opportunities.
I know at Blue Lever, you guys have more of a holistic approach.
We do.
It's not just the educational side, but you teach them leadership, you know, business management.
Yeah.
There's a lot of aspects around that, you know. Can we touch a little bit on that?
Yes. You know? So, I mean, for us, it's not just about producing good technical artisans.
Yes.
For us, it's really about producing professionals who will contribute to the industry, who will contribute to the economy, who will help grow things in South Africa. And so what we really want to do is make sure that the youth that come through our programs have that kind of training.
Yes.
I mean, Double, you spoke about how you were studying marketing and PR.
Yeah.
Not everybody is able to add on these other qualifications, but they're extremely important. And so for us, we really want to be able to ensure that young people learn these extra skills and will enable them to be successful.
I love it. That's another moment, all right? I want to jump in on this. I don't like romanticizing things, all right?
Yeah.
Sometimes when we find ourselves in such platforms, we like to speak about the strawberries and cream, all right? let's go. Let's break it down a little bit more. And Jobs, please feel free to jump into this one as well. Stacey, still to you, you know? There's a big challenge when it comes to the educational side, you know, especially in plumbing. And I think that's why the perceptions around plumbing are totally incorrect. People see it as an informal career. You might not make money. You're the dirty person. You work with toilets and drains. But I mean, what is causing this? Is this a lack of ambition based off on these perceptions? Do people understand that a formal qualification is actually so important in this industry? Since you work in an institution that does offer that, what do you think are some of the challenges? And once again, Jabu, please feel free to jump onto this one, because you practically live this as well.
I think we're dealing with two challenges. I think the first challenge we're dealing with is that this idea that everybody must go to university. And so the idea of having a career as an artisan is not one that a lot of young people know about, or it's not one that a lot of young people maybe buy into as well. And so a big part of what we're trying to do is show young people that a career as an artisan is a really good career.
Yeah.
It's a sustainable career. You will always have work, be employed. We will always need plumbers, electricians. It will always be a given in our country. And so that's the one challenge you're dealing with. I think the second challenge you're dealing with is a lot of people don't know that to become an artisan, it's a proper qualification, that you have to actually study.
Lack of knowledge, right?
Mm-hmm. You've actually got to study. It's a three-year journey. You've got to gain on-campus experience, workplace experience. A lot of young people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think don't realize that actually this is a formal qualification. It's a great career path, study path, and I will come out with a certificate at the end of it, and I will be qualified and recognized.
And it's yours forever.
And it's yours forever.
No one can take it, right? But
just to add on that, another challenge that we have is the access to market.
Come on.
People like myself, you know, I advocate for that. Because we've got a lot of youth that just don't know where to go.
Definitely.
I think it's up to us to get the word out there.
Yeah,
you know, that's why I say I stop at corners in the township.
You
get a lot of kids and youth that are very good with their hands.
Yeah.
You know, they want to, but they just don't know where to start.
Yeah,
you know, and I'm grateful for Unilever, for Blue Lever, and other you know, training colleges like yourself, because honestly, you guys, I have no idea the impact that you have, you know, beautiful stories to tell. The girls that I mentor from Believer.
I've seen some of your guys' videos. I've seen some of your happies as well. Yeah. But I mean, let's talk about it. I know we're not in political experts, all right? But there's so many social factors that also contribute to the youth being part of our industry. Do you think the financial aspect has a big, big contributing factor? Because think about it, it's not like it's cheap to study anything, irrespective of whatever you decide to go into. Now, we're speaking plumbing here and furthering your education. Finances, that also plays a big role?
Yeah. I mean, coming from our background, you know, especially disadvantaged background, that plays a huge role with the cost of living in South Africa.
100%.
And the unemployment.
Yeah.
So we, institutions like Believer, where they provide training and giving a stipend.
Yeah.
You know, and businesses that are forthcoming to say, okay, guys, we don't make much, but we are willing to go to a certain length. So to make sure that the disadvantaged they're able to follow their dreams, become artisans, you know, and let's not make finances a barrier for them achieving their dreams.
I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, as Jabba said, you know, for us, when you apply for one of our apprenticeship programs, you also apply for funding options. So there are different funding options that are available to you. So for us, what we're really trying to do is remove finances as a barrier to accessing education.
Okay.
And then as Jabba mentioned also, you have stipends. And for us, it's really important to partner with different employers who understand the importance of that and are also willing to be involved with us in that kind of way as well.
You got a gift to grow.
For sure.
I'm throwing this one at you guys as well. You know, a lot of plumbers today operate without a qualification. All right. They've got an AKA Baki plumber. You know, that's what they say. And we tend to critique them, but we know about the social background.
Yes.
You know, unfortunately for them not to have a qualification is also a negative thing because they can be exploited financially. You know, they can't issue certificates of compliance and so forth. But do you think that it's easy to operate without a qualification? Is that also not an adding contributing factor in the industry? You know, is that a possibility where people can say, nah, I'm not going to go do my trade test. My uncle taught me plumbing. I'm fine. I can install the geyser. I'm okay. I can make that 200 rand in a day. I'll be fine. Is that another... You know, I think we need to talk about it so that young people are aware that, look, there are limitations if you don't do things right.
Yeah.
Remember, water is the most important commodity as well as the most dangerous.
100%.
You understand when you go into somebody's home to work with water, it entails working with electricity. Mm. You have a family. Anything can go wrong.
Sure.
We know of incidences where geysers actually explode in a client's house.
Yeah.
Do you understand? So making sure we try to speak to those guys on the streets, you know, like you're saying, finance is a bit of a problem.
Yeah. But
with organizations like PRIB and IOPSA, we're trying to bridge, they try to bridge that gap to say, guys, come and get formal training.
Yeah.
They do give training programs that also are... are accessible to the guy on the street.
Even your ARPL.
Recognition
of prior learning. Yeah.
We always encourage that.
Yeah.
Because you need to have a plumber. We need to have accountability. I'm a licensed plumber.
Yes.
I'm accountable to organizations like PRIB, to IOPSA.
Yeah. Mm.
So my client has to be confident that they have somebody who's taking care of their property and their lives. Because you're carrying people's lives, literally,
100%,
in your hand. You know? And it's a serious, 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 serious factor we need to look into. But we have identified it in the industry. And I must say, there's a lot of programs that are in place that are trying to combat that.
100%.
I would even say, though, also that without the qualification, you're limiting different opportunities that can come your way as well, right?
100%.
And opportunities like going overseas, if that's something that you want to do, right?
Plumbing is big. New Zealand.
Yeah.
Guys, they actually headhunters.
They do.
Dubai. Do you know that?
I'm telling you,
a skill. It's a much needed skill.
Yeah.
Dubai. You get emails to say, hey, we've got opportunities for you.
Yeah.
So the world is your oyster.
It is. But you won't have that without the qualification.
Without the
100%. But that's a selling point. You see, that's a beep, 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 beep. That's a selling factor to the youngsters as well. Because listen, the more equipped you are and qualified you are, the bigger the opportunities are.
Definitely.
You know, I didn't even think of that. Just listen to the Dubai. to go do plumbing in Dubai.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. It doesn't get bigger and better than that. I want to keep the conversation flowing. All right. Let's still talk about, once again, jobs. I want to come in before we jump to Stacey with the basic skills. I want to talk about when you took your decision, you know, to become professional. All right. Was it a simple one? You know, or did you see a greater purpose out there? And I know we kind of touched on the opportunities, but let's talk about your journey once again. When you were like, I want to be licensed, because you didn't have to.
Yeah.
There was no law that binded you to becoming licensed, you know? So what was the vision around that?
To be a licensed plumber for me was, my vision was to grow my business and be serious about what I wanted to do and what I can offer to the trade. You know, and be a good example for those that come after me. You know, I mean, opportunities like tendering, private sector, work with the private sector, the compliance part of it. You get, you get to knock on doors and you get to have opportunities that you wouldn't have if you're not, if you're a non-licensed plumber.
100%.
Do you understand? You're our first preference.
Come on.
You know, you don't have to go and bribe people to get the job. Yeah, they call you because on merit, and you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a good story to tell, you know.
You've got bragging rights.
Yeah, I do.
It goes back to the learning process of it, Stacey. You know, I mean, there are certain characteristics associated with professionalism. And I know institutions such as Blue Lever, it's the highest priority. It's a mandate, you know. But let's talk about, you know, what are the benefits of the learner, you know, especially for the employer once they go through what you offer as an institution. What are some of these things that will separate them from their peers, give them that X factor?
Well, for us, what we really try to do is build work habits, soft skills. And I think with it, an element of discipline, right? Because this industry is very difficult. I mean, you know that better than anybody else, right? The work is hard. The industry is difficult. And so to be successful, you really need to have a lot of those kinds of elements. And for us, it starts from our leadership base camp, which actually happens before anyone is even accepted into the apprenticeship program.
Let's talk about that.
So, I mean, it's part of our selection process. It's a work readiness program. But that's where you really, you know, for us, it's to see, like, can you do it? Do you have what it takes to be in this industry? And so for us, the discipline is built from, like, you're up every morning at 5 a.m. exercising. You're in classes the whole day. It's a very long day. I was there 2 weeks ago, and I watched them one morning lifting they had three huge tractor tires that were joined. And they were lifting them, and they had to do 2K laps carrying the tires as part of building the fitness.
How are you going to carry a Giza?
How are you going to carry a Giza?
But that process is interesting, because at that moment when you're carrying the tire, you decide, okay, is this really what I want to do?
But that's exactly it, right? Yeah. And so a big part of it is helping youth figure out, like, is this what I want to do? Do I want to lift Gizas every day for the rest of my life? Is that really what I want to do? Yeah. But on the skill side of it, for us, it's much more about equipping youth with skills just to enable them to access any paths they want to. Yeah. So if they one day want to open their own business, then they've got the skills to do that. If they want to, you know, work for a big construction company and work up and be a manager, then they can do that. And so a lot of that comes through the other subjects we offer on campus. And these all focus on things like entrepreneurial thinking. They focus on projects management and operations. There's a communications module that you take as well. And so a big part of it is saying to youth, the technical stuff is important. You need to know it, but you also need to know these other skills, because it will set you apart from everybody else.
Just to add on, so when we get the apprentices from, say, Blue Lever, for example, you know, they also make us, our work as business owner, much easier, you know, because those students are ready to go to already, well, not ready, but they are 96% ready.
Yeah, preparing themselves almost there.
And now they understand the skill of being at work on time, the discipline measure of not being on your phone, and the danger associated with, you know, being on your phone while you're handling tools and heavy machinery while you're doing plumbing, you know. So they also help us in preparing those students. You don't have a problem of absenteeism or late coming. You know, the discipline measures are there. And they are accountable to college, like they're accountable to Blue Lever. So as well, they know that, okay, they can't get away with it because they have to report back to on a weekly or bi-weekly, you know, there's a book that you have to sign to say, how is your student behaving? So we really appreciate of what the colleges are doing for us and getting the guys to be ready while we help them uplift them and getting them to go out into the market and eventually be their own bosses. Come That's on. What I like to see.
Come on, yeah. Come on.
Thank you.
Now, here's a question I always get when I'm in the media, right?
And
is plumbing economically viable? This is for young people. Let's talk. I knew this one. Yes.
Listen, yeah.
Tell them.
Let me tell you a secret.
Yeah.
You know, on social media, I saw a meme. It says, guys, do you know that a plumber earns more than a doctor?
Come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
You know why? Because water, guys, it's the most precious commodity.
Yeah.
Mm. No one, I don't care which industry you are or who you are, nobody can live without water.
Yeah.
Even, for example, during COVID, we were working.
100%.
Every day.
Yes. Every day.
And actually, we were at our peak, funny enough, because there was a lot, everybody was at home, right?
Yes.
And using a whole lot of water, so pipes were bursting.
Yes.
We didn't affect us.
Yeah. I always remind people, I'm like, if you think about it, every structure is a tap.
Yeah.
There's a toilet.
Yeah.
There's new developments. You cannot do plumbing or build a house.
Anything.
You start with the plumbing side of it. Every government building, you know, has a floor. There's a tap there that requires maintenance as well.
Very viable.
You know? Yeah. So you guys also teach them financial management around
we do.
It, you know?
We do.
I think that's so important because there's young people. Please listen to this. Plumbers are not broke. Yeah. All right?
Every day and you make something.
And besides just plumbers, people in the plumbing industry, Stacey mentioned that she's actually not a plumber.
Yep.
But she's adding value in the industry as well. So that's a big one. And I must give a shout out for sharing that with the people. Before we even get to our wrapping up section, I'm so excited. I feel like you can be here the whole game, man.
Right.
You know, I wonder, this one is very, very personal to me because I was raised by a woman, you know, my grandmother and my mother. And, Africa is the strongest continent in the world, and it's not Papa Africa. Definitely sounds horrible as Papa Africa. Yeah. I use these lines all the time. When a dog is chasing you, you don't say Papa. You say Mama. You know, because he's scared, right? It's the thing about women and the value they bring in society. But because of certain stereotypes, trades, plumbing has this association with the male gender specifically. You know, what are some of the challenges that you faced in your area as well and in your jobs? You know, let's just touch on that so that they are proactively aware of that and it shouldn't demoralize them as they continue their journey in being in this plumbing industry.
Mm. You know, there's such a shift in the perception from when I started out to where we are now. I'm seeing more girls that are coming into
100%.
Women, and I'm encouraging young ladies. I'm still encouraging. Please come. We need you. And remember, women, we are perfectionists, guys.
Yes.
You will never leave a client's house without making 120% sure that everything is.
You even do extra.
Yes, we do.
Yeah. We're like, the pipe is fixed. Everything is done. But the ladies are there polishing the wall.
So I think the change in perception is very important. Mm-hmm. And like myself, you know, I'm very hands-on. And plumbing is broad.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't mean you're going to be carrying a geezer up until you're 65.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, you can venture into business like myself, but at least you will know the technicalities of it, you know, before you go into the theory part of it and running a business.
Mm.
You know, so ladies, please come join us. We need you.
And jump in.
Hey, the cake is too big.
Stacey?
Yeah, I mean, I think I agree also with what Jabu was saying. We've also seen a big increase in the number of women that apply for our apprenticeship programs, which is really, really great. And so women are definitely needed in this industry. There's definitely a space for women in this industry. I think it goes just to, we see a lot of determination. Like once females are in the program, they really want it. You know, they really want to make sure that they follow through with the program, achieve, get that certificate at the end. They're doing it for themselves, their families, their communities. You know, there's a big drive from that side as well.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say is that you need to know what you're getting yourself into.
100%.
This is tough. It's really tough.
And really worth it.
It is definitely worth it. Definitely
Come
worth
on.
It. But you need to know what you're getting yourself into.
Be prepared or else you're going to be overwhelmed, right?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Guys, this is so amazing. History in the making. And I've got two amazing queens here. We're discussing female participation within the plumbing industry. But apart from that, so many aspects around today's episode that I think have been quite informative. I always do this, and I think it's quite important. You know, there may be people watching or listening to the podcast right now, you know, who may have an interest in plumbing. I think for people who are like yourselves, who are adding value in different aspects around plumbing, you know, what message of encouragement do you want to give them? You know, maybe about qualification, about just taking the decision to enter this industry, or, you know, changing perception around it. What's your final message to that young individual, irrespective of their gender or race, that you want to leave them with?
What I can say is that being an artisan right now is the coolest thing to be.
Come on.
Yeah. It's profitable.
Yeah.
It definitely has a bright future.
Yeah.
And I would encourage the ladies and the youth, boys and girls, come into the space. Guys, the world is your oyster.
Yeah. Come on.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of stuff happening for youth, right?
You
kind of trying to figure things out, looking at different options. Pick this and stick with it.
Yeah.
It'll be worth it in the end.
Come on.
So commit to one thing, do this, get through the 3 years, qualify, and you'll have so many opportunities available to you.
The rewards are amazing.
Yeah.
And don't compare yourself to other people.
Definitely.
I think that's the biggest worry that, okay, my friend is a doctor, my friend is a lawyer. But even doctors and lawyers need the toilet, okay?
Yeah.
That makes sense,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, it does.
Ladies, from my side, history in the making. I'm going to say it over and over and over. I really wish we had more time.
Oh, man, I really enjoyed that.
You'll have us back, though.
We're going to have a part two of this, right?
We will.
From our side, thank you for coming through to Next Gen Plumbers. You know, I hope the youth that is listening or anyone who's watching the podcast really does enjoy it. And for further information, make sure you go onto our PIRB website, which is www.pirb.co.za. And we are also digitally inclined. Remember, plumbing is advancing. We also on those digital spaces, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at PIRBSA. I know I didn't do it in the beginning because I had to introduce the queens. My name is Rendani Chibura, a.k.a. Ren D, your number one MC. You gotta love it. You gotta love it. Hashtag Next Gen Plumbers. Yes, man.
Yes, man.